You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left. Fashion. Turn to the right.
Fashion.
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penny, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, nice to talk with you this morning. Where in the world of fashion are we going today?
I thought we could talk about the label Moschino, because the latest creative director, who was only appointed 10 days ago, unfortunately passed away.
Oh, shit.
On Friday, yeah. It was a guy called Davide Ren, who was with Gucci for 20 years, most recently as the women's wear designer along Alessandro Michele. And he was only appointed a little while ago, and 10 days into the role, unfortunately, he passed away of a heart attack.
Oh, man.
Which is really tragic. So I kind of thought I would look into Moschino because I don't really know much about it other than it kind of being quite loud and out there when you see the designs.
Yeah, totally. I'm also not very familiar with Moschino's history at all, and I know pretty much exactly the same as that. I can see it in my mind when you say it, but how would you describe it for someone who has no visual reference of it at the moment?
I guess it's very quirky, kind of tongue-in-cheek. They kind of tend to take other brands and put a twist on it and put it into clothing. So if you think of SpongeBob SquarePants as an outfit or as a print, and McDonald's kind of things, they'll make the Happy Meal box a handbag, that sort of thing.
Yes. So it's kind of gauche on purpose. It's sort of
It's really campy. Really campy.
And it was Jeremy Scott for ages, is that right?
Yeah, so he was 2013 to 2023, and Davide Ren was he was the guy that was taking over. And I thought I would talk a bit about Jeremy Scott next week because the story is quite big. I thought I'd go back to the beginning.
Ooh, okay, interesting. Please take us there.
So it was founded in 1983, which is actually not that long when you think about it for, a high-end fashion label.
Totally.
By a guy called Franco Moschino. And he was originally going to be a painter, but ended up translating his love of prints and colour into fashion design. He worked for Versace as an illustrator for a while. And then he decided to create the label, and it was under a company, it was funded by a company called Moonshadow. And he was creating bold prints with polka dots and hearts and peace signs and golden jewelry and all that sort of thing. And also he would create jackets and skirts and belts with things like ready to wear, but wear spelt W-H-E-R-E. Waste of money, as in W-A-I-S-T of money, and this shirt cost £1 million lira, and things like that. So it was like really kind of out there, and he was quite, he wanted to be anti-fashion and not have people kind of spend a lot of money on his clothing,
but it
actually reversed. He ended up getting a huge following, especially in the US, and people just bought his clothes, and he kind of got quite stressed out by that because he was like, but I want to be anti-fashion, but I've become fashionable and that
Catch
sort of thing.
22, that is tricky.
Yeah, and he incorporated a Roy Lichtenstein pop art piece into a suit. He made a t-shirt featuring a TV tuned to channel number 5, and of course that sparked a lawsuit from Chanel number 5, which is known as being quite litigious. He was like just kind of really socially aware, and in 1994 he wanted to start developing nature friendly garments.
That's very early for people thinking consciously about fashion as a part of the machine of environmentalism, perhaps.
Yeah, totally. And unfortunately, he died later that year also of a heart attack. And he was only 44, which is pretty tragic. But he also did prints with things that said, "I am proud of the odor of garlic and tomato in my clothes."
That's really cool.
And also, he was also known for doing gags at shows. So at one particular show, he put gadgets under guest chairs that produced the sound of mooing cows when they sat down.
Cursed Oprah vibes.
I quite like the idea of someone just sort of setting out to make a bit of a troll thing and it becoming, of course, extremely popular, and then it being, oh no, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah, like if you think about, he created a perfume, and the perfume hit 222 million in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah, because it was just crazy. And there's kind of offshoots. There's Moschino Cheap and Cheap and Chic, which is more budget friendly.
Yep.
And Love Moschino, which is kind of a unisex, and it's even more camp and more playful and based on positivity and things like that.
Yeah. One of the images I always, the only sort of image I have in my head when I think Moschino is, I can see the bright colours, usually like a hot pink or maybe a hot purple or something, and then the text of Moschino, and also the teddy bear, the kind of gummy bear shaped teddy bear. That's what I think of when I have Moschino in my head.
Well, he made, there were like hats made out of teddy bears, and the sneakers, do you remember, like, I think it was Adidas, I don't know if it was a collaboration or not, but there were a lot of sneakers that had, and I think they were Jeremy Scott kind of phase, where they had teddy bears around the top of the sneaker, and then sneakers with wings.
Yes, I do. I remember the wings.
They were definitely Jeremy Scott era.
When people talk about that quote unquote indie sleaze era of music and fashion, which has definitely been retrospectively placed upon a particular time, but those shoes are one of the shoes that I think of as well, 100%.
Yeah, and I thought that because Jeremy Scott was like 2013 to 2023, that they were, Moschino was Americanized kind of then, but it was actually pre that, I guess, because Franco was using Roy Lichtenstein and stuff like that, who's American.
Yes.
But also his predecessor, who was his friend, Rossella Giardini, she was 1994 to 2013. She created a lot of tour outfits for pop stars like Madonna, Lady Gaga, Kylie Minogue, and also the opening ceremony outfits for the 2006 Winter Olympics.
Wow. Oh that's cool.
No biggie.
So it's very fun.
Yeah, so it was kind of like quite a cool rabbit hole to go down to kind of look at these earlier designs and things. Because, I just only knew the Jeremy Scott era.
Well,
so,
I'm excited to talk Jeremy Scott next week, but this is definitely a fascinating rabbit hole of kind of colourful, crazy intensity. It is also, I think, really interesting how these kind of critiques of American fast, like consumerism, which is definitely what Moschino is doing when it's set out, can kind of then become the thing as well. I always find that very interesting when you get sort of the snake eats its own tail a little bit.
Apparently he was an avid collector of things like stuffed teddy bears, fake Greek columns, busts of Queen Elizabeth, and he loved opera literature, and his favourite designer was Levi Strauss.
Oh, what a amazing house that would have been.
That would have been so fun to visit, for sure. I'm imagining a lot of like pink velvet in there or something. Thank you, Penny, for bringing us Moschino part one this week. We will talk to you about Jeremy Scott next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
See you later.
Bye.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.